Hello, Celine.
Hi, Jade.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. I'm excited to do this little mini episode, but I want to do a little spiel before we get into it. So I just want to remind everybody at the top that we would love for you to rate, review, subscribe, follow us on Instagram at ArtOKCool. We're here for you. We want to hear from you. Let's get into this minisode. I'm really excited. Tell them what it is.
Okay, so if you haven't already listened to our episode last week, go back. I've heard from a lot of people that really liked it. So that was nice feedback. And at the very end, my super cool, I shared one of my tools that I found helped me be really productive and successful in 2021 was this thing I made up called the Ugly Planner. So for those of you who haven't listened, I'm going to break that down. So don't worry if you don't know what I'm talking about. And for those of you who have listened and reached out to me to be like, exactly, give me like more detailed breakdown. That's what we're going to use today to do because it's still January. But anytime you listen to this, you can start an ugly planner. But I'm saying it is January. People like to set the goals and get going. So yeah, I'm just gonna jump right in and share sort of what I did. How's that sound?
That sounds amazing. I'm so ready.
Okay. So, for starters, the reason it's called an ugly planner is because of my own personal history, love-hate relationships with planners. I like to be organized, I like to set goals, and I love all these beautiful planners with this section all planned out for me, but inevitably, it never fit with exactly what I needed. And also, if I had to like scratch things out or I changed my mind and I change, wanted to change a goal, I didn't like that. And so then what would happen is I just wouldn't even use it at all. So I thought last year at the beginning of 2021 that I wanted to get organized. But I didn't want to fall into that trap. So I just got the ugliest, easiest thing I could find, which for me meant going to the dollar store because I had been on this big decluttering kick and I had thrown away all these empty notebooks. But a lot of you listening probably have a bunch of them laying around. So just grab one. And if you don't, go to the dollar store and get like a $1 notebook. About 200 pages is ideal. And I also picked up like another little dollar store calendar that's a 1 month spread. So those two things were like uber helpful. Okay, so once you have that, then the next thing you're going to do before you even start anything is I would encourage you to think about like the way that you want to feel this year, because this is a concept from the book called The Desire Map by Danielle Laporte. It's a few years old, but I reread it recently. And it's an interesting way to look at accomplishments and goals because, really, at the end of the day, what you're doing when you're setting and hopefully achieving a certain goal is it's not necessarily the goal, it's the way it makes you feel. Like it makes you feel
Right.
proud or excited or joyful or whatever. So I think if you come at this from how do you want to feel this year? I think the rest flows in a little bit easier. So just have that in your mind. And if you want to do a deep dive, go check out that book. So, fun facts. Do you like fun facts, Jade?
I'm dying to hear this. I'm so interested because I have tried many systems. None of them work for me. I am a notebook monster. I'll like start a sketchbook and I'll be like, okay, I'm gonna start sketching on one side and I'll start writing on the other side. And then, like, never the twain shall meet. And then it ultimately just turns into a big jumble mess and I can't find anything and I don't know where anything is. So
Okay,
tell
so
me.
that's kind of like an ugly planner, like the
Okay.
messy part of it, like you're already there. The not finding anything, I'm going to help you with that. But the kind of jumbled mess, it's pretty much that. Okay, but so before we get into like dividing your book up, I just wanted to share this fun facts with you guys from this study that I found. Apparently the Harvard MBA program in 1979 did this study where they asked graduates if they had goals, if they had clear set goals. So 84% of the graduates said they had no specific goals at all, like just graduate and carry on. 13% said they had goals like in their mind, but they didn't write them on paper anywhere. And then 3% said they knew their goals, they had written them out and had like broken down how, like they're in their mind, what their steps to accomplish them were. So then they checked in with the same graduates 10 years later. Can you guess what happened?
Tell me.
So the 13% who said they had goals, right? Like just in their mind, not written down. On average, they were earning twice as much as the 84% that said they had no goals.
Wow.
But even more impressive is the 3% that had clear written down goals with their like in their mind, with their plan, how they were going to get to those goals. They on average were earning 10 times as much as the other 97% together.
Wow.
Right? Now, I know this is specifically about earning an MBA and blah, 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 and that's different. I get it. But the premise is just that there's something about putting all of your hopes and dreams on paper and then looking at it and trying to, you know, step by step work towards that, that I just think is pretty cool. So I wanted to share that.
Yeah, I think that's a great place for people to start too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So now let's get into this notebook situation. So you have your notebook. And the nuts and bolts of it. I know this is a podcast, so it's not visual. So I'm going to do my best. But I've made a few reels about it. I just did a live about it tonight. It seemed to really hit a nerve with people. So there is stuff on my Celine Gabrielle Art Instagram. And right now I'm going to try to verbalize it as clearly as I can. So what you're going to do when you open your book on the very first two inside covers is I suggest making a vision board. Have you made a vision board before, Jade?
I have not ever made a vision board.
Okay, so we are artsy visual people, which is why I think they're even more beneficial for us, because sometimes, or at least I, see things in my mind's eye before it's in real life. Like, I think you do that too, don't you?
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah.
So I think vision boards are so helpful because it's words, it's images, and it's all together. And a lot of times people have vision boards and they'll put it in their, I don't know, closet in their bedroom or like some hidden place. So you make it and then you never look at it. But the problem with that is that then it doesn't sink into like your mind and your subconscious. So if you have it in the front covers, as soon as you open your book, and also I'll say this now instead of waiting to say it at the end, the key to this ugly planner is you need to use it every day. Like you need, I carry it around in my purse and I look at it every end of day before I go to bed. So that's key. So now that I've said that, okay. So you have your vision board, and here's another fun fact. Normally when you're doing your vision board, you're like cutting out images of like your dream house, or maybe it's the logo of the art fair that you want to go to, or maybe it's a place you want to visit. It like it can be all encompassing about your whole life, right? It doesn't just have to be your art practice, but the random images. So my little fun trick that I did last year, which works super well, is I made it in Canva.
Oh, cute. That's a great idea.
And the reason I like it in Canva is because I, you know, like, let's say you want to own 3 ferrets and they have a ferret mansion. Google that shit. There'll be images of it. And then you can print that out and put that on your vision board, right? Like, it can be really bizarre and specific versus just picking up whatever magazine you have around the house. You're not going to find that, right?
Totally.
So I love that you can customize it really specific to your things. And the other thing that's nice about Canva is that you can put in your favorite quotes, your affirmations, if you do like a word of the year, anything that again, you're not going to find in some random magazine because it's too specific to you. You can add those to your vision board. And last but not least, the thing that I really love about Canva is that you can then print multiples and you can print them in different sizes. So you can make one for the inside cover of your book. If you want one in your bedroom closet, if you want one in your car, you can make a tiny wallet size one if you want. Like, I don't, go crazy. You could like have them everywhere. And that's important because looking at it and thinking about it regularly makes you want to take the action required to get to it. So
I love that. I love that because the thing between me and a vision board is cutting shit out.
Yeah, but I bet you already have a shit ton of Pinterest boards that you could drag a bunch of stuff out of already.
100%. Right? Yeah. Like the thought of having to acquire like magazines and then also cut out and then have to get rid of the carcasses of these magazines, that's it's a no for me.
Sticks. Yeah, and the other thing, now you might have to go to Staples or wherever and get it printed because nobody ever has printer ink at their house, but you know, small price to pay.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I love that.
So the next thing you're going to do once you have that done and in your book, you can do it with the magazines too, by the way. We just want you to do it. But I really like the Canva route because of everything I already said. Okay, so the next thing you're going to do is crack open your book, notebook, and number every single page. So remember how you said you could never find anything?
Mm-hmm.
This is how we're going to help with this. So you're going to number every single page before you get started. And like I said, around 200 pages probably is a good amount. But these notebooks you get, like I said, at the dollar store or whatever, they're typically like one, I've seen them like 150 to 200. So try to shoot in that range. I think that'll give you enough space. The next page you're going to do is make your index.
Oh.
Ha. So just have a page or two that you leave blank. Right now, there's going to be nothing except the title at the top that says index. Okay. Done and done. Next thing you're going to do is, you make this shit up, but I'm telling you what I did, and then you make it your own from there. So what I did is I had five sections. So I had goals, trackers, career, which for me is art, but for you it might be something else, gratitude, and then my to-dos / like daily notes. Okay, so then, because everybody says, well, how many pages do I leave for whatever? Well, you can do whatever you want. But what I did was take my 200 pages, divide it by five, and then those were my sections.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Totally.
Okay. So next, moving on to our goal section. So now you have your goal section. And in truth, this might be too many pages in the goal section. You might not need a full chunk of the book, but just to make it simple, I said five sections, but you can make it up as you go along. Okay. So we talked about this again last week. So I'm just going to dive in a little bit more. So I have like a 2-page spread in my notebook that I make really fun. I get my highlighters and markers, and that is like my super crazy, awesome dreams and goals. And so I write them down big, like, you know, all over the page, and I put little bubbles around them and hearts and stars, and just like when I was in middle school and writing notes to pass in class, and just make it like a fun page. It doesn't have to be, you know, too regimented unless you're a list kind of person, then go for that. But I kind of like to make it, because again, the other thing is this is a page you're going to just look at and let your mind go wild. So I would try to aim for 10. And if that sounds easy, great, do more. If that sounds hard, I'd really encourage you to push for it anyway, because I think the harder it is, the further you stretch your imagination, because you're digging, like you're screaming, you know, I have these three goals. I want my dream house, and I want to have, you know, sell out an art show, and I want to, I don't know, travel to Brazil. Okay, let's say those are three dreams that you've had for the last 5 years. Well, those are going to be easy. Those are going to come up real quick. So then when I tell you to keep going and think of, I can't do math, seven more, you're going to have to be a little bit more creative, right? So I would encourage you to do at least 10 super crazy, awesome dreams and goals. And do not judge yourself against what anybody else would think. Like, maybe a dream home to you is a super crazy awesome dream because, I don't know, maybe nobody in your family has ever owned a home. Maybe everybody's always been renters. And so that seems like a really big thing. And maybe to somebody else it doesn't. But it doesn't matter because it's just for you. So don't worry. You don't have to show it to anybody. And please don't, you know, just don't hold back. And then on the flip side, if you're like Jade's favorite person and you dream of going to the moon, then write that down. There's no limits is the point.
Wait, good? Who's my favorite person?
You. Oh my God. We won't bring him up because I think it makes you mad every time you hear his name. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm so tired. I have no idea.
Elon Musk. You're
so oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Moving right along.
Wait, did he go or does he want to go to space? I don't follow him very closely. I think he went
like semi-space. Like he didn't like...
Anywho, whatever. You do you is the point, okay? All right. So you have your super awesome crazy dreams and goals. Good. The next is probably a little bit more... What's the word? I guess a little bit more structured. So you're going to try to make SMART goals. So SMART goals are, SMART stands for specific, measurable, I forgot the A. Specific, measurable, something realistic and timely. What's the A?
Actionable.
Thank you, Jade. Yes. Specific, measurable, actionable, realistic, and timely. Good. Okay. And so for me, again, I'm going to share what I did. I have 8 categories that are of importance to me. You might have different ones. You might have some of mine, you know, whatever. But mine are money, wellness, family, friends, work, career, however you want to call that, fun, personal growth, and then home. So, again, I'm going to push you a little bit here. So, and there's a reason why. So, when I did this in 2021, I was just making it up as I went along. I've sort of been doing it for a year now and really refined what worked from it and what didn't work so well. So, when I did it, I didn't have any specific number, but I'm going to suggest to you that you choose 2 or 3 in each category. And the reason is, the more there are, the easier it is to succeed. Because they are more specific, right? Because they are within a time frame, this and that, you might not accomplish all of them. But if you have a few to choose from and to focus on, you probably are more likely to accomplish some of them. Therefore, at the end of the year, you feel of more, like if you have at least 1 or 2 on each area that you succeeded at, you feel more successful versus if you only put 1 very specific goal and you didn't achieve that goal. And then you think, okay, I'm a big loser. Look, I only did 2 things this year out of my list of 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was suggesting more. And then this year, I saw another little goal setting tip and they were saying to do like 10 in each category, because then if you only do 10%, you, again, it gives you like more to aim for. And then I don't know, it just, so anyway, so for, I would say for anybody starting out, try 2 to 3. Anybody who's like a super goal person, like what I'm going to do this year is I'm going to try to do 10 in each category just to give me,
Yeah.
I know. Just to give me even more options. And I'll be I'm just like super curious to see at the end of the year if that in fact is true. Like if I can accomplish 10%. And back to the super awesome crazy goals, it's harder for me. Like I had a harder time this year trying to come up with 10 in each category. So it stretched my idea of what I want to accomplish. Like, okay, I'll tell you like one really specific one in my family category. This might sound ridiculous, but I don't have baby books for my kids. And I want to make them each a baby book. And for them, so, you know, it can be something simple like that. I also have like go on a big fancy family vacation, right? So some goals are like, Do you know what I mean? Like, probably pretty big. And then other ones are, like, making the baby book. It's not really going to cost me much money. It's just time and effort to put everything together. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So, consider that. Like, when I say goals, some are going to be more elaborate than others. The other thing, back to the SMART goal, is try to make it as specific as possible. So, like, with art. So, for me personally, because I'm a slow painter, I want to complete 10 large scale paintings, which means over 36 by 36 inches, which breaks down to approximately, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks per painting. So that's quite specific, quite broken down, quite deliberate. So if you can do that, the better you'll be at reaching your goals, I think. So try that. Okay?
Yeah, and I think it just makes it easier to process those ideas as well.
Yeah, it breaks it all down into smaller chunks. Okay, so that's the goal section. Next thing we're going to move on to is trackers. Trackers basically is as it sounds, but it's anything that you want to keep track of. So if your goal is to keep track of your art practice, you can, like, have a daily art making log. If a big goal for you is exercise, maybe that's something that you're keeping track of. I wanted to read books, so I have a tracker for books. You just kind of make that up as you go along with your personal goals.
And how are you specifically tracking? Are you, like, writing things down? Are you doing tick marks? Are you checking boxes? What are you doing?
This is, again, a personal choice. For me, for some of the basic stuff, like, okay, so for exercise, I would have on the page exercise. On the left-hand column, I would have January. And then across the page, I would just write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way to 30 or 31 or whatever. And then if I exercise that day, I would just put an X. Like, that was enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to start a weightlifting program and you want to track, you know, reps. And
all of the details.
That's why you have those blank pages, because you make it up as you go along, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those can be as elaborate or as simple as you want. Except I'm going to give you one specific suggestion for something to track. And that's good things. So I gave myself one page per month, and I would randomly, whenever anything good would happen, whether it was directly to me, whether it was something that happened to my husband or my kids, whether it was maybe something in the news that I like, it could be anything that you personally consider good. I would write that on that list, because then I found, like, anytime I was having a bad day, or if I was having a bad month or whatever, you can flip back through those good things, and it just helps to shift your perspective into a positive light, and just also has you focusing on things that just come and go and you don't remember. And again, because it's in a written book, like, I would write, you know, well, for example, my daughter was accepted to ballet school, and so that would go in there. And, like, 10 years from now, if I feel like flipping through one of these books, you can go and see all the good things that has happened in the past year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever. So I think that's a good thing for trackers that I would suggest. And the rest, you make them up. But I do think that everybody would probably benefit from good things each month. Good?
Good.
Okay, so then my next section is art. And so, you know, again, I'm breaking the rules and blurring the lines a little bit. Anything that I was tracking pertaining to my art career, I didn't put in my tracker section. I put it in my art section. But you can do whatever you want. And so the other thing that I had in there that was beneficial, and I'll break down a little bit because you asked me about how to do trackers. So some were simple, but this one was more elaborate. And this I allowed, like, 4 pages for. And I tracked everything I applied for, because that was, you know, I didn't mention this earlier, but there's something that I call a push goal. Have you ever heard that term before?
I think you explained it last week.
So you have all your goals, your SMART goals. And then if you look at all of those, if there's usually one thing that if you could make that one thing happen, it makes all the other things, like, fall into place, or just easier, or whatever. And so for me, last year, I decided my push goal was going to be applying for one opportunity every month.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what I was tracking in my planner. So every time I saw an open call or something of interest that I could apply for, I would write that down. Then I would write down what the deadline was, because maybe I saw it or heard about it, but I didn't have time to act on it right away. So I would write down what it was, the deadline, the cost to enter or submit for that thing. And then once I submitted to the thing, I would write when I submitted to it. And then ultimately, if I found out if I got that opportunity or not, I would write if I did or if I didn't. And so that kind of tracker is a little bit more elaborate. But this is what I'm saying. You got to make it up to suit your goals. What is the details that are going to be beneficial and useful to you? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So you make that up. And then other things that I tracked in my art section was like, if I finished a painting, what did I title it? What size was it? What medium did I use? What, like any information pertaining to that painting? Is it available? Is it sold? And then I can put that in my art archive on my computer. But if I'm not at my computer, it was just easy for me to keep track in the book and see it in one place. So I was tracking things like that. And then because there's blank pages in there, if I watched a documentary and I wanted to take notes, I would take notes in that section and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff, anything you want. And then, of course, touching back earlier to our index, anytime I have a new page, because they're all mishmashed in there in my art section, I would then say, okay, you know, art page 93, ideas for podcast topics. And then I would put that in my index so that when I had a new podcast idea, I could easily find that page. Make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's awesome.
Okay. So that's that. Next section I'll go over super quick because it's very straightforward, is daily gratitude. So unlike my good things are like across the board with anybody and anything of interest to me. But my daily gratitude was just, I would write the date and then I would write at least one, and up to as many as I wanted. Some days there were a lot, some days they weren't. Anything that I was grateful for that day. And that was the last thing I did before I went to bed. And so I had good things on my mind and just went to bed with a feeling of gratitude, which I don't know. I think I was sleeping better and I wake up in a better mood. And it's just nice to, yeah, it's just nice to look for good things. So that's another section. And then my final section is very straightforward again. It's one page per month for my to-dos with, and then also like just blank note pages for random, you know, like, well, you know, notes, anything. So that is probably the messiest section of all because I would cross things out and add things on. And what I liked about that versus when I was keeping like my to-dos on my phone is that when it was on my phone, I would delete it and it would be gone and I would forget that I did it. Whereas this, again, if I'm feeling like it's an unproductive week or an unproductive month, I can look and be like, oh, you actually did some stuff because it's still there as a running list for me to look back on. And then the things that I didn't get done, I can roll over to the next month really easily. So there you go. I hope that helps clarify like how to, the very bare bones of how to set up your planner. Those of you who really need very, very specific details, and I know there's some of you because you've already DM'd me like, but what page should I put this on or what page should I put that on? It's a little bit structured and a little bit loosey-goosey. So you kind of have to make it up as you go along. And I think if you give it a try and you like it this year, as I've done, I learned how many pages I need for different things. And so the one I set up for me this year is a little bit more targeted to my needs. And I think that will happen for you too. So don't stress too much. Just dive in and, you know, the uglier, the better. Yeah. So I actually have a document outlining this a little bit better. And we will put a link to that in the show notes.
Awesome. That was so great. This is the end of the mini-sode. Where can people find you, Celine?
I'm always hanging out online. Everywhere online is Celine Gabrielle Art on all the socials. And my website is CelineGabrielleArt.com. How about you, Jade?
You can always find me at Color Worship on Instagram or on my website, www.jadeusakis.com.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week.
See ya!